Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Oh, okay.
Welcome to My Turn Podcast, a games podcast hosted by extra competitive siblings. Expect news, reviews, laughs, and arguments as we take on games across all genres and formats. Hello! Hello, 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 everyone.
Hello.
Good evening.
How are you all doing?
Yeah, not too bad.
Very excited.
Yeah. Oh, excited?
Yes. As we speak, there's like only a few hours until Zelda's out.
Oh, really? Oh, my God. That is exciting.
I'm not getting it at midnight, though. I have to wait for game to open.
Oh.
You didn't, like, camp out waiting for it?
I don't know if they're doing an overnight opening. I didn't bother checking.
Yeah. Well, we should probably introduce ourselves. Billen, who is very, very keen to play Zelda soon, is the middle sibling of this sibling trio. I'm Jem. I'm the eldest and smallest of the sibling trio. And last but not least, we have...
Erim. I'm the biggest, but the youngest. I love how this works out.
He's very tall. Very tall. Yeah.
And also the smelliest.
Oh, yeah, I do smell real bad.
It's a good thing we don't have smell-o-vision on this video call. We are recording today remotely, so back to the pandemic ways, because we could not get together in person today for our games reviews, but we're still bringing it to you. So we're going to be
talking about... It's quite nostalgic.
Yeah.
Yeah, remember the pandemic, those good days. Oh, they were the best.
I spent a lot of time staring at this screen, actually. Yeah, we all did, you know. It's weird. I've hardly used Zoom at all in the last few months.
I had to install it specifically for this podcast.
Billen, did you manage to go the whole pandemic period without using Zoom?
No, I uninstalled it and I only reinstall it specifically to use it because reasons, which I don't want to get sued about.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, maybe you use another video app thingy.
Yes,
Facebook Messenger.
Right, so we are going to be talking about three games that we have played for you today. Three very different games, I think. So why don't we do a quick kickoff with Billen, as you are freshly back to the podcast. Tell us first of all the title of the game that you're going to be reviewing today.
So the game I'm going to be reviewing is Octopath Traveler.
Octopath Traveler. And now, Billen, you've been absent for 3 years from the podcast until very, very recently. And as Erim and I must have briefed you on, I think, last time, we now describe that game in a nutshell. But in order to do that, you have to find an appropriate nut.
Oh, yes, you did mention this. And
yes, I
did. Didn't think of one at the time. Right. This is going to be tricky because nuts are one loculated and I really want one that has 8 seeds. Right. Well, I'm going to cheat and go with pine kernel.
Okay. No, we accept seeds. Yep.
And
you want
to
have a reason?
Yes.
Yeah, please do.
Right. So a pine kernel, there's usually lots of them. So nuts usually only have one per shell.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that's part of the definition of a nut.
Ooh.
Whereas pine kernels, you get lots of them. And this game has 8 separate but interwoven stories that you need to work through.
Very nice. Very nice. Okay. And tell us about this game. When did it come out? What's it available on? And what are you playing it on?
Right, so this game came out in 2018 and I got it on pre-order because I played it on Nintendo Switch when there was a free demo available. But then I didn't play it for a while because I was playing some other games like Zelda. And then the pandemic happened and I only wanted to play it on a big screen so that I could experience like the graphics. Though in hindsight, that wasn't necessary because of the particular graphical style. And so I think when I was last on the podcast, I was saying I was looking forward to playing it. But I don't think I actually started playing it until 2022. So I owned the game for 4 years and had never actually played it apart from the demo until last year. And it originally came out on Switch in 2018. It was subsequently released for Windows in 2019, and it's now available on Xbox One as of 2021. Possibly available on other platforms, but I'm not aware. And also in the meantime, there's been a prequel released on mobile platforms called Octopath Traveler Champions of the Continent. And a sequel has recently come out on the Switch.
Ah.
And possibly other platforms.
So what is this game? Tell us about it. What kind of game is it?
So it's an RPG, but there's a bit of a twist. So you start with one of eight possible characters, your choice.
Mm-hmm.
And each of the eight characters starts in a different part of the same world. And they have their own stories that they have to go through. And whilst you're going through these stories, you meet the other characters. And you can start their stories when you meet them, so that you can be running multiple stories in parallel, or you can skip the first part of their story and then just use them as extra characters in your party. And there are eight characters in total. You can have a party of at most four people at any given time. And it works out that you need to visit lots of the same places to progress the different branches of the various character stories. And at the end, it turns out that they're all linked in some way.
Ah, what, like right towards the conclusion of the game, they come together?
Yeah, so each character has four chapters to their own story. And once you've completed all 32 chapters across the eight characters, there are some post-game quests, which reveal that actually there was a single antagonist orchestrating the whole thing.
All right, well, let's not give any spoilers away at this stage. That sounds really interesting. So what is your experience of playing the game? Like, how did you find it without spoilers, just in terms of the gameplay?
So the gameplay is quite fun if you're into RPGs. It can get a bit of a slog if you want to grind your characters. There are ways to speed that up. But if you want to complete all of the side quests and collect all of the extra items and complete the game fully, it's going to take a really long time. And some of it gets a bit repetitive.
So how long did it take you to beat?
So I'm still in the post game. So I haven't yet fully completed 100%. I think I've racked up about 110 hours.
But have you completed the narrative? So you've beat the narrative, like?
So I've beaten the main stories, just not the post game. Everyone working together to beat the final antagonist.
Is there any reward to completing the game, like 100%, or is it just because you're a completionist? Do you know if anything happens that's special?
So on platforms with achievements, I think you get achievements for various things, including completing the game. On Switch, we don't have achievements, but each individual story you complete, you get a screen that you can take a screenshot of with like a nice picture of that character. And then when you complete the whole game, you get the same thing, but with more.
That's not good enough. I want more. Like, I want something like Majora's Mask, where you get to like be like the fierce deity when you complete it. Make that.
I don't think there's that. I think the reward for completing the main quests is the post-game content, which is the extra quest where everyone goes against the single antagonist.
So talking of rewards, what's you know, briefly, what do you like about this game? What are the positives?
So there are lots of different character classes. So each of the characters starts with a primary class. You can then find shrines which allow you to learn a secondary class, and there are some special shrines which allow you to learn four additional classes which none of the characters have at the beginning of the game. And that creates a lot of variation in the way you can set up your party. So you can choose four from eight different characters with four different primary classes, then you set four different secondary classes, which can be any one of 12. And then you've got different like kit loadouts. You can use different weapons to buff different stats. And there's various strategies you can employ. Like, do you buff everyone first and then attack the enemy, or just go all health will have guns blazing, well, swords and magic, whatever, and attack the enemy and try to take them out before they land a hit, which gains you bonuses. So there's a lot of variation, which keeps the gameplay fresh, except when you want to grind a little bit. And that, the story is really interesting.
Okay.
And again, because you've got four different characters, you've actually got four different narrative threads, plus the, eight characters. You've got eight different narrative threads, plus the overarching one, which you only learn after the main game. And the music is really, really good. Like, I every now and again have to correct myself that the game's name is not Octopath Traveler OST, because I type that in so much to like Spotify or YouTube to listen to the music.
Oh, amazing. Oh, we'll have to check it out. I love a bit of game music. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
And all right, so were there any negatives in this game?
It's a massive time sink. So if you've got the time to invest in it, then it's definitely worth it.
Mm.
But as I said, I've spent like 110 hours, haven't quite finished the post-game content. And it's quite easy to get sucked in and end up playing it for many hours just because you want to complete the next chapter, but also do all the little side quests on the way.
I mean, that sounds more like a positive, really, if anything, because it's obviously doing its job by keeping you sucked into it. And I think like a game that immerses you that much where you just like completely lose time, I think is an effective game, really. I always found that with Gwent when I used to play that, like not even the Witcher game, just Gwent. I'd just spend like 3 hours doing that. I'd be like, oh, wait, I haven't even played yet. Damn it.
Yeah, but I guess if Billen cited it as one of the sort of more negative aspects of the game, maybe, I don't know, you tell us, Billen, is it as rewarding as it could be? All that extra time?
There is definitely a sense of satisfaction when you manage to beat one of the main bosses or the secret bosses. But it is frustrating when you get really close and then like the bosses get to that final phase and decide to eliminate three members of your party all in one go, and you can't recover them quickly enough with the one remaining party member.
So what about the difficulty? Like what kind of level would you say this was at?
So if you complete all of the side quests along the way and grind by attacking enemies on the paths between the various cities that you need to visit, it's generally not too difficult. There's a reasonably good learning curve. Mm-hmm. So if you try and
just
keep
decent
everyone's
progression, yeah.
Yeah, if you keep everyone's chapters roughly in sync, so you do all the first chapters first and then the second chapters and then the third chapters, you're not really going to have too much problem, apart from the odd case where one of the bosses has a ridiculously powerful move, and if they use it at just the wrong time, then you're probably going to lose that fight and have to do it again.
Okay.
If you know that's coming, then it's fine, but the first time you face them, you have no idea what their special move is.
Got ya. Well, it looks really you know, pretty. Like, it's interesting, this game, because it's one of
Final
many
Final Fantasy-esque, doesn't it? The way, like...
Yeah, well, I was just about to say that the cover art and the concept art versus the actual game, the look of the game, is quite different. The game's fairly pixely and cutesy looking, actually, when you look at some of the stills, whereas the actual the cover art is quite grown up. That's interesting.
And the graphical style is 2.5D, so it's sprites on a three-dimensional background.
Yeah. Little sprites. So is there, just briefly, anything of note that you haven't already mentioned, about this game that would be worth people knowing if they thought about picking this up?
So the battle style has an interesting mechanic. Rather than just being straight attack your enemy with your most powerful moves, there's a breaking mechanic. So that's break, B-R-E-A-K, not B-R-A-K-E.
Mm-hmm. Putting stop on it.
Well, if you're stopping a vehicle, it's breaking the other way around.
Oh, yeah.
Whoops. Breaking, as in snapping, fracturing, that kind of break. Yeah. So each enemy has a number of shield points, which you need to remove before you can do the best levels of damage. And they are only weak to certain types of attack. But the first time you face the enemy, or the only time in the case of boss characters, they you don't know what they are. So there's six different weapons and then six different kinds of magic, and it can be any combination of those.
Okay, so that sounds quite fun, and like that it will constantly mix it up and keep it fresh. Great. Lovely. I think that brings us neatly onto your score for this game, Vilen. So what would you give Octopath Traveler out of 10?
I think I'd give it a 9.
Very high score.
Nice, yeah. Woo.
Yay! Fanfare music.
Cool. Brilliant. Thank you, Vilen. Probably not one I would check out, not my kind of game really, but it does look really nice. And I'm glad you finally completed it after all that time. Well, completed almost most of the game. Yeah. Well, Erin, what are you going to be talking to us about?
Me!
Today?
Ah, Connect Four.
Connect Four.
Wait, sorry, wrong game.
You jest.
I mean, it is a classic. It is a 10 out of 10. But we'll leave that for a special episode. I'm going to be talking about... I know. What am I like? I'm going to be talking about Hogwarts Legacy.
Tell us about the game in a nutshell.
Oh, in a nutshell. Okay. Well, I'm going to use a bit of a... Yeah, like, not a proper nut. But you know when you get those nuts that are, like, covered in Marmite? Those nuts that are covered in Marmite and you eat them and you're like... I don't, like, it's cool, it's not that great, but you just want to have more and more for some reason. You don't know why. And, like,
I've never had a nut covered in Marmite, ever.
Have you not? I swear they're like the HP nuts. No. Am I making this up? I don't.
No, I don't think it's actually Marmite. I think it's something similar to Marmite, like some kind of yeast derived.
Are you just thinking of Twiglets?
No, you get Marmite cashew nuts. You do get Marmite cashew nuts. I've just looked on Google, therefore it's real.
Okay, brilliant. Okay, so one of those nuts. And tell us briefly about the game. What kind of game is it? What are you playing it on?
I'm playing it on my brand new PlayStation 5 because I'm fancy. It came out in 2023. It's an action role-playing game developed by Avalanche Software and published by Warner Brothers Games. And it's under the Portkey Games label. So it's essentially an RPG where you get to be a student of Hogwarts. I'm a massive Harry Potter fan. And I do love an RPG, so it's like combining two things that I really, really like together. So, you know, to me, it was like, I just had to buy a PlayStation 5 to play this game.
because it comes out a bit later, I think, think on the older PlayStations. So I was like, for my birthday, do I buy like musical equipment or do I get a PlayStation 5 so I can play Hogwarts Legacy? So yeah, I chose the latter.
It's so funny. You are the only person I know who wanted a PlayStation 5 for this game. When there were those other games that I'm not even going to need to mention because any gamers out there will know the games I'm talking about. But you wanted Hogwarts Legacy.
I really wanted it. I don't know why. Like, and I think it didn't help because quite a few
of
my
God
friends
of
started playing it and they were all just
shelf.
Like showing off their characters and stuff like that. And they were like, oh my God, it's amazing.
It's so funny.
No. I've started God of War. And it's cool, but it's not Hogwarts Legacy. Sorry, like this is just like so good. What? It's not.
You're funny. All right. So talk to us about this game. What's working for you? What's some good stuff that the game gets right?
So much. They get the whole feel of Hogwarts really, really good. If you're someone who likes to just like run around into places that you're not meant to and just explore things for the sake of exploring things, this game is filled to the brim with like new and interesting things and like places to go and like things to see. It just really rewards you for like just going off on different tangents and finding stuff. So it reminds me of like when I was young and I used to play this game called Arcanum, I think it was called. You could just like run around like the world map and like encounter different cities and like different like magical places, and they'd have like various unique items. So it's really like, I don't know, it's really appealed to that kind of like childlike aspects of how I like to play games, of just like, well, I've got ADHD, I get distracted by stuff, so I see a pretty door and I walk through it and it's like, ah, my ADHD is helping me because now I've got a new cool outfit. Yeah.
And is it a sort of true open world? Can you just go anywhere at any time, or are you gradually revealing a map? Like, how does it work?
No, it's pretty much, you can go around on a broomstick, you can go around on a hippogriff, and you can go around on like some ridiculous monster thing that is like, I don't know, like the size of like a house. He was fun. But yeah, we'll get into that later. Yeah, it is true open world, so there's only various places that you can't get into when you're on a broom and things like that, because they'll have like some magic protective spell. But yeah, like pretty much after the first, I'd say about 20 minutes of gameplay, the worlds open up to you. It's just perfect. Whether you fancy going a bit too far out, because you start off quite weak, really. And a lot of the Hogwarts play is actually about you learning all the different spells and how to use them.
Yeah,
because
you're
unlock
a student,
different spells.
Aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. You're actually a fifth year. Like, you start late. I think you start in your fifth year, and it's you discover that you have like a connection to something called ancient magic, which is like this stupidly powerful magic that you can't just use willy-nilly. You kind of have to like charge up this bar to use it, but like pretty much this ancient magic is so powerful it pretty much kills things in one hit. So it's a really, really cool unique thing that you get as like a special power. But yeah, throughout the game, as you're playing, you unlock all your different spells and they all do various different things. So it's quite cool. It does actually make you feel like a student going into all the different classrooms and unlocking stuff and developing a relationship with some of your school kin and your teachers and just learning about their backgrounds. So yeah, it's really good. I can't get over how well they did Hogwarts. It's just amazing.
Yeah, it looks really slick. The actual rendering of all the world building in terms of the visuals looks really slick. How about the story then? I mean, you said you're obviously a student, so there's that kind of inbuilt thing of you're needing to learn things and become a better witch or wizard. But is there like a story linked into this ancient power? Is that the core narrative?
I mean, that's kind of one of the important things that you discover about yourself early on. But essentially, without ruining too much, at the beginning of the game, like during the cutscenes when you're traveling to Hogwarts, you actually get attacked and you come across this goblin called Ragnarok. Oh, for fuck's sake. Something beginning with and basically, R. Yeah, Goblin R. He's kind of trying to do a good thing, but he has become a bit corrupted. He's trying to fight for the rights of goblins so that they're, like, held in similar kind of stead as the wizards, because they're kind of treated as, like, a not-so-important part of the world, if that makes sense, like a second class citizen. And ideally he's trying to, like, fight for their rights and trying to get them involved in the magical world, because they can't use any magic, the wizards won't let them. But under all of that, you realize that he's a lot more insidious, and he doesn't have just good intentions. In fact, he's trying to get some powers for himself to use it for his own benefit. So that's kind of the story. You start off by meeting him in Gringotts. And then the story, like, as the game, without ruining anything, is basically you discovering more about him and what he's trying to do. And it all, yeah, ties into Hogwarts, basically. So, yeah, I won't say too much because that's the story and no spoilers.
Yeah, don't.
Yeah.
So, what were there any... So you've talked about some positives. You told us a bit more about the gameplay and the story. So is there anything that isn't working for you that you would like to have seen differently?
Not really. It's
no, what about the cat scene?
Oh, we talked about the cat cutscene in the last episode. If you want to hear about the cat cutscene, listen to our last episode.
I won't go into that too much. Literally, there's just, like, you go to stroke a cat and it all fades to black, and then it's slightly zoomed in and you're stroking a cat. I don't understand why. But the game is really good. I don't know what it is that I really enjoy about it, because I don't think it does anything particularly new. It is quite like a button-bashing game. Like, you learn that some spells might slightly be better against certain enemies, but in general, you're just trying to blast all your best spells, your enemies. So, like, the combat's not particularly amazing or anything like that, but, like, I don't get that put off by it. I still enjoy just being like, ah, Avada Kedavra, blah, 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 like, just, like, zapping everyone. No, there's not really anything negative. I think it might be a bit too...
Fair enough.
It might be a bit childish in certain places. I feel like it is slightly aimed at kids as well as adults.
Well,
but
that,
like,
was going
to
be
there's
my
a
next
simplicity
question.
To
like,
it.
So tell us, who do you think this is for, this game? Like, for example, do you think you need to be a hardcore Harry Potter fan?
No, not really. It's a really, really fun game. But I think, like, some of the kids that I teach... are playing it and, like, having a great time with it. So there's, like, a bit of a puzzle solving element to it, but it's nothing particularly challenging, not something that, like, yourself or Bilem wouldn't be able to master in, like, you know, a few minutes. So I think it is for everyone, but it it isn't that challenging, other than, like, the odd boss, especially the last boss. I lost my shit doing that.
Speaking of people losing their shit real quick, if you can hear kind of whinging in the background and crying and maybe the odd bit of guitar music, that is my the spouse and the child.
Real life Tamagotchi.
Trying to be placated by the spouse. So apologies, but real life, what can you do? So lovely, Erim. Bilem, did you just have a quick question before we move on to...
I was going to ask what was the boss that you lost your shit with?
Oh, it's
Rambutan.
Yeah, Ravioli. But he turns into it. Is it a spoiler to say what he becomes?
No, don't say it. Just in case.
He becomes a very big, strong, nasty that you have to, like, kill, but he's really fucking annoying. So, yeah.
All right then, Erin. Was there any last little brief things that you want to mention for anyone before you move to your rating?
Yeah, if you're a fan of Harry Potter, don't think about it, just go and play it. And if you're a fan of RPGs and magic, just play it. It's such a good game. Like, I really have enjoyed it, and I'm a bit sad because I don't feel like it's a replayable game. Sorry, just to touch on this, because you get to obviously choose which house you're in and things like that, but a lot of those choices don't really affect a lot of the gameplay at all.
Yeah,
so I think it's literally just an aesthetic thing, like what common room you can have. So I feel like they missed a trick with their replayability there, but it's still great. I still love it.
Great. So, what's the score for Hogwarts game?
Yeah.
Hogwarts Legacy.
I give it Hogwarts Legacy. That's it. I'm going to give it a 9. I think it was like genuinely really fun. I was so sad when, like, I actually was like, oh, I hope they bring out another one or some sort of DLC soon so I can carry on playing it. But, you know, I'll just have to sit there and cry playing God of War.
You might have to play God of War. I hear it's all right or something. I don't know. Some murmurs about it being like quite good. Who knows?
I've started playing it and like it's got a lot to live up to, but you know, it started okay. So we'll see.
I'm sure it's going to be as amazing as everyone else said when you get into it. Brilliant. So,
what have you been playing, Jem?
Hold up. Did I give my rating number?
Yeah, you gave 9.
Gave it 9 out of 10. Oh, are you
God,
okay?
Sorry,
are you okay, Aaron? Are you having a scene?
I just went back in time to playing Hogwarts Legacy in my head and I forgot I gave a number. Sorry.
Right, so Jem, what have you been playing?
So,
yes,
it's my turn. Someone's going to interview me. Hooray. So I'm going to talk about the only game that I've beaten in the last year.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, right?
Have you not won human Tamagotchi?
I'm playing another game, which I won't talk about yet, but I'll review next time. But finally beat Life is Strange True Colors, which is the third installment of the Life is Strange series. In a nutshell, Life is Strange.
Yeah, yeah,
nutshell,
don't forget the nutshell.
I'm going to give it a walnut.
Oh.
I use this one quite a lot, but I think it's because I tend to play games that are sort of brain related, or
and the walnut looks like a brain.
It looks like a brain
for someone who's talking a lot about brain related things. It's not very original, is it?
Sorry, what can I say? I'm tired.
it's okay. We'll give you some walnuts for your brain.
A graphic adventure video game. It's developed by Deck Nine. Published by Square Enix, was originally released on the 10th of September 2021 for the PlayStations, the Windows, the Xboxes, and Stadia. Whoever plays
what
that.
Is Stadia?
And the Nintendo Switch version was released in December of 2021. So really, it's a 2021 game. It made a lot of the Game of the Year lists that year. I started playing it right at the beginning of 2022 and then got sidetracked, played some other stuff, then was just pregnant and felt sick a lot, so didn't really finish it until after the baby came. And it's the third installment of the Life is Strange series. I've played the first of the three different series. Yes, so I've played the first and the third.
Cool. Tell us about the game, like what are you enjoying about it so far?
So the game basically it's an adventure played in sort of third person view, like the other Life is Strange games, and you control a protagonist. And you're basically exploring various settings within a small town that you turn up in. Basically, you're following the main character is called Alex Chen, And she's a young woman who has been in and out of the care system since she was a child. Mm. And the only family she's got left is because she was orphaned quite young. The only family she has left is her older brother. And she's finally left the care system and is now a very young adult and is going to live with her brother. So the game kind of introduces the two characters sort of coming together after a long time apart. And she's now a grown up and he's been living in this really idyllic, gorgeous little town called Haven. So when you turn up there, your whole job is to sort of like talk to people, figure out what you can do to get by, figure out if you're going to fit in, try and get to know your brother again. And you start learning things about the town and the various characters within the town by interacting with them and talking to them. And so it's a sort of gentle exploration. As with all of these games, there's a magical realism element. And very early on, you realise that Alex has a supernatural power. And basically, she's an empath and she sees people's emotions and real thoughts and inner monologues, I guess, through different colours, which is why it's called Life is Strange, True Colours. So she sort of sees auras and can be affected by those things, which is why she's had quite a troubled past. But through playing the game, you use that power to make things good and solve mysteries and unravel a very interesting.
Do you have to be good? Can you not like, can you like manipulate people in a bad way? Or is it you just have to play this one way?
No, this is a game where you have choices along the way. So you can choose to be selfish. You can choose to be friends with one person over another person. In fact, often the game does require you to sort of either pick a side or a romantic choice, for example, comes up at some point. Where you can pick one person or another. There is a narrative that you need to follow, that you kind of follow, because it isn't an open game in that sense. Like there is a story. It's a game that's told in chapters. So there's five chapters and by the end of it, you need to uncover a mystery. So in that sense, it's linear, but the choices and that you make along the way do have an impact on the relationships that you build and your interaction with the town and the people in the town. So, yeah, there is the decision making does have an impact.
Cool. Is there any way you can lose the game?
No. There are ways that you can play the game that you might not find satisfying. So this is a game that very much digs into how you feel, how you feel as a player, but mainly, you know, through how the character feels and the character's sort of stability in this town. Because the character you learn through, you have access to a diary, the phone, like she's got old text messages, and gets like there's a notice board, like a digital notice board for the town. You can read all these little snippets and it kind of builds the world out, but also builds out your character's backstory. And it gets updated as you go along, like quite organically, you'll get a text every now and again, which you can choose to read or not. But if you do read it, it just gives you a little bit of extra story sometimes and can then give you hints as to which way certain characters are going. But you realise that she's had a really troubled past because her powers have got her into jip. She's often got angry and flown off the handle, or she's hurt someone because her powers actually can become sort of a tangible thing and she can sort of move stuff and affect stuff and, yeah, get like a rage, like a red mist of rage. So she's, come from a troubled past. So it's sort of almost not directs you, but you almost for Alex want to make her life better because you can see how bad it's been. Mm-hmm. And it's bad in a sort of real way. Although it's got this sort of magical element to it, the stories are very real and they feel fully fleshed out. And all of the characters have a three-dimensional personality and backstories. And you become quite invested in Alex's well-being, and you want Alex to be settled because her whole life has been torn upside down by what happened with her parents and also her powers and how she's been misunderstood. And the fact that she can't really just go around telling people that she's got magical powers, because it's a very much a real world situation. And she herself is like, she thinks of herself as a freak, basically. So it's not like a world where everyone's got superpowers.
Okay. Sounds really, really interesting. Just out of curiosity, with all these like extra powers, is there anything like unique about this game as opposed to the other ones, or as opposed to any other games that you really admire about it?
So what I love about the Life is Strange games, and also the other Deck Nine game that I played, which was called Tell Me Why, which I reviewed on the podcast probably about 2 years ago, and they all have that element of magical realism, but the stories themselves are very grounded in reality. And I really like that they absolutely embrace diverse characters and diverse stories. So from like a wide range of backgrounds, like both with the central protagonists and also the characters around them. And I think that they do a lot in terms of representation. What that also gives us as players is stories we haven't seen before, and we learn about lives that we might not have seen represented in video games before. And I find that always very interesting, because, you know, how many games do we play with a big burly action hero at the center?
Oh my god,
you know
this is my issue with bloody Marvel everywhere. It's all the same.
Yeah, so it's a really interesting, I guess, experience as a player to go into these worlds that are, as I say, so grounded in reality, yet you get that element of what if this one thing was magical, you know, where everything else is real, but what if this one thing? And they're all slightly different. The first one is time travel. The second one I haven't played, I can't remember what it is. And then this one is this empath situation. And with Tell Me Why, which is from the same developer, that was twins who had a psychic connection and were able to sort of read each other's memories, or like open each other's memories up. So they all use this sort of magical thing. And I find that really unique and lovely. And yeah, I think I answered your question.
Yeah, no, absolutely, 100%. So, I mean, it all sounds really lovely, but, like, are there any negatives about this at all? What are you not enjoying about this game?
For me, the only thing I'd say, and I don't know if it's a negative or just I wanted more, is I wanted more. So just in terms of the town of Haven, I just wanted a little bit more geography to explore. The town is so tiny, not much more, but where the streets ended, I found it a little bit frustrating. I was like, oh, that's just a corner. I can see around it. I just want to go around it. I just wanted the town to be a tiny bit bigger. And like, for example, there's a number of shops that you just can't go into, whereas some of them you can, but there's so few of them. I just wish every shop was at least something you could go inside, you know, like just a little thing like that. I just wanted a slightly bigger town.
More
to
depth
explore.
To the world.
But other than that,
fair
I
enough.
Can't really think of much that I would
change. I wanted to ask you something, actually, just in regards to this, because I was just reading up on this. Was there anything to note about the music in the game? Because apparently it's been nominated for some awards and been voted in like best original soundtracks for certain things.
Yeah, it's got some really lovely moments in this game. This is a really unique thing about it, actually, where there's a point at the end of each chapter, or maybe in the middle of the chapter, actually, where you can just choose to like sit down. and a song will play, and it's up to you if you listen to the whole song. Or if you like get up, and you can get up whenever you want. And I think right at the beginning, you can look out across the river off the bridge. for example, and if you let it play, you see deer in the background and petals and blossom falling onto the river, like little rabbits or something. I mean, it's really, it's called Haven. The town is so idyllic, which I think it has to be a contrast to the sort of bad, very grounded, real stuff drama that happens. The only other thing I'd say, not for me, but and I think they're very good at this as well, it probably is something you'd, if you've got certain things that would trigger you about problems in foster care or family issues and mental health and things like that, I'd say like maybe there's a bit of a trigger warning there, but I think that the game does really well with usually flagging that kind of stuff in their marketing, and they're very open about the fact they deal with grown-up gritty issues. Stuff. They deal with very gritty, it's really really gritty stuff.
I mean, that's the that brings us on to our next point, really. Yeah, that brings us on nicely to the next point, is who is this game for then? Who do you think
it's
this
definitely
game is targeted
it's definitely for
to?
Adults, but I would say like teenagers, upwards. So probably sort of like 15 upwards. I actually don't know what the Peggy rating is for this, but it feels like it should be about 15.
Yeah.
Can't see where I can
see
that.
I'm not too sure, actually. I haven't got it in my notes either.
Yeah, I can't see it on the things I have open. Anyway, 15 feels about right, I think. But as I say, if anyone's got triggers, then around like parenting, foster care, stuff like that. Also bereavement a bit. But in terms of adults, I'd say if you like narrative heavy games, then this is definitely one to look at. If you like games that give you quite a sense of escapism, but very much something that you don't necessarily have to like invest 100 hours in, for example.
Yeah.
This is a game that you could easily beat in about 8 hours, it's definitely, it fills you full of a lot of you get a sense of achievement because you go through this massive journey of like discovery with your main character, so it's just a different sense of achievement. So if you're someone who likes action heavy games only or like strategy heavy games only, this probably isn't a game for you. But if you like narrative games or something a bit more creative, something that showcases storytelling and performances, the performance in this are fantastic, with a bit of magical realism, then this is for you.
Cool, fantastic. Well, it sounds lovely. So we'd love to hear what your score is for this one then, Jem.
Well, it is a nice, tasty 9 out of 10.
Wow.
3 points.
Yeah, I know. That's never happened before. It's an amazing game. It's beautiful.
Oh, no.
It's thoroughly deserved being in all those Game of the Year top tens and things it was in. Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic. It's really, really good to hear. It's good to hear we've all been playing some amazing games then.
I know.
I'm sure. Yeah. Hopefully it will continue and, like, I don't know, we don't end up playing some awful things.
Let's see next time. Well, yeah,
that's going to get 10 almost certainly.
Well, let's see. Tears of the Kingdom. Don't disappoint Villain.
Famous. Yeah, famous last words. It comes out and it's broken.
Oh.
I've already seen one review. It's 10.
Well, by the time this podcast hits your ears, Tears of the Kingdom will be out, so you may be able to decide for yourself. But I'm sure the next episode that you hear from us, Bilem will have things to say. So thank you very much, brothers. That was a lovely little pod. Very nice to hear about these other games. I'm so excited to get back to playing new things.
When will you review Real Life Tamagotchi as well? That's I'm waiting for that.
Review Real Life Tamagotchi.
I'm a bit on the fence about that one.
The next thing I am reviewing is actually like a kind of a game/mindfulness experience. So, okay. Which is kind of countering the stress of having a real life Tamagotchi quite well. So I'll be talking about that next time. But I think that brings us to the end of the pod. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope you enjoyed our lovely little reviews. We'll be bringing you more reviews in our next installment, plus a bit more games news as well. And if you like what you hear and you want to support us, we are independent podcasters. Please share the love, tell your friends about us, subscribe. We're on all the channels. And leave us a 5-star review. What happens if they leave us a 5-star review?
Give us stars.
You get cookies.
Okay.
In heaven.
Cookies. We'll give you cookies. All right. That's bye from us. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Bye.